Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that you may lead us more and more to be open to you, to be channels of your love, to lead others to know your grace and your love, especially those who are in most need of the truth, and especially those who are most against us. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, my prayer this morning is actually based on the Bible, the gospel, as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, because this is the passage where Jesus says that we are called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, I guess you could say. And he says in the next line that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. It's important to understand that that is the defining point for a Christian, or at least one of them, that you love your enemies and you pray for your persecutors. That is the defining point. I always like to bring up the case of Martin Luther King being beaten, I think it was in the march in Alabama, and thrown into prison. He was beaten by a police officer and thrown into prison. The first thing he did, get down on his knees and prayed for that police officer. And that's always an important thing to do, to always pray for those people who hate you, or want to who are against you for whatever reason there may be. It may be someone who is at work who doesn't like you, or someone who is maybe even in your family you're having a hard time, or whatever the case may be. You always need to pray for your enemies and pray for those who don't like you. And one of the things that you'll hear from the atheists is that you don't have to believe in God to know right from wrong. And there's a truth to that to a point, but remember what I said at the beginning of the program just about 2 minutes ago, that the defining point for the Christian was love of enemies. You do have to believe in God to forgive those who hurt you, and to forgive those, and to pray for those who are against you. Who, you know, maybe you have someone who is trying to force you out of the company, or maybe you have someone who's trying to get you fired, or maybe you're having trouble in your family, or whatever the case may be. It is essential that you pray for your enemy. That's an essential part of being a Christian. And as I said, you can be an atheist and do, you know, and know right from wrong, but there is nothing in atheism that says you have to be good to your enemies. Nothing. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus brings out. Not so much as atheism, but it says, but you have heard it say, love your enemy and love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, the love your neighbor and hate your enemy obviously comes from the standard of the world. That's the way the world works. We can see how the world works like that. You can see how countries may be working to undermine each other, playing all that political intrigue that countries do. And we know those are not Christian values that they operate. You know, we look at some of the things and say, why can't you, that major thing? Why can't people just get along? Which is what we are as Christians called to do. We're not called to consider and treat others as enemies, so to speak, as Jesus says. But, you know, in politics, that happens all the time, even in political barriers. In political games, there are things that are done to, as the saying goes, mudslinging. It's called to do everything you can to destroy your opponent so that you can win the political race. None of that is Christian, by the way, none of it. And Jesus says, love your enemies, seek to do the right thing. Now, that may also explain why, if you truly want to live your Christian faith, you probably make yourself a bad politician. But maybe there's a thought also to be brought up in light of that. And the thought is simply this. How can I best put it? Are you living Catholic values if you are a sincere Catholic, if you're sincerely seeking to do the right thing, and you are a elected elected official in government, so you're a representative, you're a congressperson, or you're a senator, or even president, or whatever the case may be, and can you function properly doing things for the party instead of doing things for the people you represent? Now, obviously, there's a mixture of that. But if the party wants A and the people you represent want B, which are you called to choose? And if you are choosing to do what the party wants, are you living Catholic or, for that matter, any Christian values? Those are important questions to think about in light of what we stand for. And we often see that there are people in Congress that do what the party wants. Then there are those that are that unique voice that do what they feel is right. Well, was granted, he wasn't Catholic in the first place, but you know, one of the things about John McCain, he was known as a maverick. He was his own person. He did what he felt was right, as opposed to a lot of times not what his party wanted. And we know that was one of the trademarks of John McCain. Do you do what your party wants, or do you do what your people want? Do you do a mixture of both? Do you do one or the other? These are important questions in light of the Sermon of the Mount. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more in a second. Do you know that you can put together an adoration chapel of your own in your own house? With concerns surrounding the coronavirus and social distancing, many miss the opportunity to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. However, with a little ingenuity, it is quite easy, and you are not doing anything irreverent or illicit. Simply search Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube, and several live channels in different parts of the world will pop up. Now you can engage in Eucharistic Adoration in your own home if it is not available in your local parish church. Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can listen to the archives of the show. You can sign up for our Substack newsletter. You can, and obviously read Substack newsletter. You can also read the homily. You can send feedback. You can send prayer requests. You can all kinds of things over there. CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. So anyway, we're talking about this teaching right here in the Sermon of the Mount and how to live that, loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you. And that is the signature aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's it. And as he continues, he says, you know what? If you hate your enemies and you only love your neighbors, and that's all you care about, if you only greet your brothers only, he says, what's unusual about that? Pagans do the same thing. If you only love those who love you, then, you know, tax collectors, which of course were considered traitors to the faith in Jesus' time, they do that. So we're called to live a whole different standard. And that's what we were talking about before the break. If you are an elected official and your focus is to do what the party wants, not necessarily what the people want of you, are you doing the right thing? And are you doing the right thing if the party wants something that is against what we believe as Christians? Those are important questions to ask, because that's all part of the Sermon on the Mount as well. What he basically says is, as he ends the this particular passage, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. That confuses a lot of people. I'll talk about that in a second. But in other words, live by the standard that God calls you to, not the standard that your culture calls you to. It's a whole different ballgame, because that's what he talks about. Well, you know, the pagans do that. The pagans do the standard of their culture. You're called to do the standard of God. Why? Because you're living a whole different focus. You're living a whole different understanding of the reality around you. That's what you're called to do. We're living a whole different understanding of what it means to be true. Now, we also understand that if you're working, for example, in politics, and you decide to do something that the party doesn't, you are going to be ostracized by your party. That's just the way it works as well. And, you know, who knows? There's that meme going around, so to speak, that's been around for ages, for probably since the founding of the country, that you know, the party leaders will ensure that your office is in the bathroom. You know, those little things they'll do to get them to follow in line what the party wants. Whether or not they actually do that, I have no idea. But you see what I'm saying. There is that reality that we're called to live in a whole different view. So say, for example, why don't we transfer this into a different way of thinking? I've used this example before. Suddenly, you are transported back 400 years, and you know science now in a way that they don't. So you have a whole different focus on the way the world works. Do you listen to the people at the time? Do you follow along what they say? If the party wants something that you know scientifically makes no sense whatsoever, do you still follow along the party lines? Or do you stand up for what you know is the truth because you're coming from a time in the future and you've somehow been transported back and you get elected to an office? What do you do? And that's actually the dynamics that Jesus is talking about. Do you, in fact, live by the deep standard of truth? For example, do you follow along by what you've learned from St. Thomas Aquinas, or do you listen to what your party says that you know is contrary to what St. Thomas Aquinas says is a good path to follow? What do you do? These are questions that are part of our real world, and then they work the same way in office politics and everything else. And Jesus is calling you to walk the path that roots yourself in Christ. And one of the best places this is an example is bullying. Well, everyone else is bullying that unpopular person. Are you ready to turn around and say, I won't be part of that, and take the repercussions for that? But that is the Catholic position. We'll talk more tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day, and remember us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.